Blackhawks Live.
Here's the break and in front of the pass, he scores!
That's hockey, baby!
From the downtown studios of WGN Radio, it's time for Blackhawks Live. Let's pull back the curtain, go behind the scenes of your favorite hockey team.
That's what we're here for, guys, to win.
Blackhawks Live. Now, here's Joe Brand with Chris Bowden.
Okay, guys, show us what you got.
Well, the Blackhawks haven't played since last Wednesday, and they're not going to play again until this upcoming Wednesday, but there is quite a lot to get to. We talked about it in the tease. Alex DeBrincat doing a good job of representing the Blackhawks. The GM search seems to be in full motion. Some other things to get to as well. And Team USA playing Team Canada later on tonight, so make sure you don't go to bed too early. You can cheer on the Team USA women's hockey team. He's Chris Bowden. I'm Joe Brand. You're listening to Blackhawks Live here on 720 WGN. How's it going, Chris?
All right. So this is what I'm drinking in order to stay up for the 10:10 start in Beijing. Got the large iced coffee from one of the more famous coffee makers, coffee chains here in town. Although I always bring that in, it'll especially help tonight. Maybe I ought to take it slow in order to hold on until what 12:30 is probably when the local time is when this thing's gonna end up. But yes, the grudge match continues tonight, and the men's team gets underway here in a couple of days as well. Team USA featuring or including Drew Commesso, the Blackhawks prospect, among others, taking on Team China, I believe, on Thursday. Team China, which has Jake Chelios among the players. I didn't even know that until earlier today, that Jake Chelios has been playing. The other thing I didn't know is that there is the team that Jake Chelios plays for in China is in the KHL. I didn't know the KHL had teams in China and I think North Korea as well. So I'm learning a whole bunch of stuff here.
Yeah, we've been hearing a little bit about that from Kaylee Chelios in the broadcast booth, and we'll get Kaylee on the show one of these days. But yeah, plenty to get to with the Olympics, but also the Blackhawks maybe with some of their bigger news in terms of their GM search today. News breaking that the Blackhawks have interviewed an assistant general manager for the Chicago Cubs, Jeff Greenberg, for that general manager's role. Now, listen, there was some talk about the Blackhawks looking outside the box, looking at other sports, you know, dealing with Mike Ford and Sportsology, bringing in the three-man crew of Eddie Olczyk, Patrick Sharp, Marian Hossa to help kind of watch along with this hiring process. But if you remember, the Blackhawks talked with Jed Hoyer back in December, I think it was middle December, just about going about the approach of finding the new GM. You almost wonder if in that conversation, maybe this Jeff Greenberg's guy's name is brought up. Is that something where, hey, you know, with these types of things, I would like to look outside the box. I would like to get as many opinions from as many people as possible. Kind of like this Jeff Greenberg guy who we're learning a lot of good things from here in the Cubs organization. But I mean, he was just recently promoted up to assistant GM in 2020 for baseball. And now we're talking hockey. So it's definitely a unique approach for the Hawks. And I kind of get it and I kind of don't. But I'd love to talk to somebody who knows more about Jeff Greenberg and why he might be able to suit this role.
And the fact that he has absolutely no hockey background
right.
at all is very much outside the box in terms of thinking. And, you know, when Danny Wirtz has stated there's only going to be a GM, he is going to be the
right.
person in charge and pulling the trigger on personnel and who he has around him. If he ends up, and I know nothing about the man, but if he ends up advancing to a next stage, it would be quite interesting to say the least. But you know, some of these other names that some familiar names that they have interviewed. There's also another guy in hockey that really has an amazing background. And as we continue that, we should also just pause and let our listeners know about the biggest story of the week. We will address that a little bit later on in the show.
Yes,
what
will.
Happened at the town hall meeting, because, you know, we like to have some journalistic cred as part of the show as well. And we'll discuss that and not just totally dismiss this over the course of the next hour. Perhaps towards the end of the show, we'll offer some thoughts on that. But between Kyle Davidson, who was the first interview, and Peter Chiarelli, Scott Mellenby, they have plenty of NHL front office experience previously. But this Eric Tulsky guy, who is now the assistant general manager in Carolina, what a resume he has. And he is much more of the analytics type. But obviously around a good group in that front office in Carolina. But when you take a look, 8 years overall in Carolina, he's been the assistant GM the last 2 years. But when you look at his education and some of the other stuff that he has been involved in, it's absolutely mind-blowing. And you can understand why he's on more of the analytics side or a specialist in that. Not to say, you know, he isn't capable of identifying talent and going the old school way of being a general manager.
Well, I especially like how he comes from Carolina, how successful that team and organization is right now. And I like to see a team who's trying to go in the next step, the new direction, to go off of the success of other teams, not necessarily a copycat situation. But again, just quickly going back to Jeff Greenberg with the Cubs, that the biggest point is what you brought up, that Danny Wirtz said that there will be a general manager and that's it. Mm-hmm. I can understand this move a little bit more if there is a president of hockey operations, right, and then there's the general manager kind of handling some of the more business-like duties of the job. You know, maybe I'm right with that statement, maybe I'm not, but that makes more sense. When you're evaluating talent, when you're dealing with other teams, when you have history with other teams, you almost feel like you would need somebody who's at least been involved with the sport. And again, I'm not poo-pooing what the Hawks are doing in this situation. It's just very unique. It's very interesting, and I'd like to hear why a guy with only a baseball background is being seriously considered for this job. But it's not like he's the only one. I still feel like Kyle Davidson would make the most sense at this point, but I like that they're reaching out to other people. I like that they're doing some things outside the box. What you said earlier about what happened at the town hall meeting, yeah, we will address that later on. And it's not so much that we're trying to hide what had happened. It's not so much the story anymore. It's still the biggest news of the week. Mm-hmm. But now things have happened after that that are more part of the story. What Gary Bettman had to say during the All-Star break. The fact that Kevin Weeks was speculated to be a general manager candidate for this hiring process. He went out on Twitter after Rocky Wirtz had said what he said in the town hall meeting. So, you know, it's kind of fair to assume that Kevin Weeks might not be interested in something like that. That's pure speculation, but that's just part of it as well. And now also some news coming out from Rockford, too, that shows that yeah, there is an example of the Blackhawks moving forward in attacking and, I should say, taking matters at hand of the things that they never quite got to explain a little bit further last week. We've also got a lot of fun stuff to talk about at the All-Star break. Dan Duva is our guest. He's the radio voice of the Vegas Golden Knights. He called the All-Star game. He's been there since.
He's just now catching his breath.
Yeah, oh, I bet. He's been there since the Vegas Golden Knights had become a team, so I'm sure it was very cool for just the hockey community out in Vegas. And put a question out there on Twitter. Got some really good responses, and I want to keep it rolling, so give us a call, 312-981-7200. We do got to get to a break, but give us a call and let us know, just like how they had the fountain face-off for the All-Star game in Vegas, with a little Vegas twist, a little Vegas touch, just, you know, flipping the puck on the fountain, skipping across the water. The next time the United Center hosts the NHL All-Star game, and you want to see a skills competition that has a little bit of a Chicago touch, what do you want to see? Do you want you said you had one. Do you want to throw it out now? Or do you
Sure. Mine would be construct a rink around the bean. That's where you have your obstacle course, but include the bean as part of the obstacle course, having to go around and under it. And if you skate too close, if you're not right down the middle of that bean, you better be wearing a helmet. It could get a little bit interesting. So they didn't even have an obstacle course type activity in this year's skills competition.
Right.
They have in years past. So if it's in Chicago, that's what kind of I'd like to see. And after the break, maybe we'll go through some of the responses. Hopefully we'll get a call in to win the Boykies prize pack as well. But we'll go through some of the responses, the answers that we've gotten on Twitter so far. Most of them Chicago River related. I know you got a couple of ideas, too.
I do. I do like yours. Yours is already better than most of mine. I got one that I'm going to stick to, but it's also just kind of echoing off somebody that's said something on Twitter already. Got to get a break to get to Blackhawks Live 720 WGN. I like to think that Alex DeBrincat achieved one of his dreams by going to the All-Star game in Vegas this past weekend.
Fleetwood Mac knowledge.
He's Chris Bowden. I'm Joe Brand. You're listening to Blackhawks Live on 720 WGN, taking you up to 8 o'clock tonight. Hawks are off until Wednesday when they visit the Edmonton Oilers. Edmonton's actually going to play Vegas tomorrow night. They're going to host the Vegas Golden Knights. So we're going to be having Dan Duva, the radio voice of the Vegas Golden Knights, on the show with us after 7:30 news. But big night for DeBrincat, big weekend for DeBrincat as well. Got to see some creativity from the Cat, too, dressing
up. Yeah, a little personality as the new Allen from The Hangover.
The beard, the sunglasses, little Carlos in front of him, and catching a touchdown pass from Derek Carr and just slapping it past. I will say, I really like Trevor Zegras's dodgeball skit.
Yeah, but somehow he lost. Imagine there was a Vegas Golden Knight who won the breakaway challenge, who probably had the worst routine out of them all, but John Hamm hating on the Blackhawks and then trying to get on the fan side in Vegas by giving Pietrangelo a 19, we're going to have to bring this up with Mr. Duva afterwards, too. So yeah.
John Hamm must be like the NHL's number one call anytime there's a big event. I know he's a big Blues fan. He supports the team very well. I know he was at the Winter Classic this past year up in Minnesota, but man, what was that, -6 degrees? Like, John, do you...
But the Blues were involved.
They were, okay. We're also taking calls and suggestions for Chicago-themed NHL skills competition events during the All-Star game. Out in Vegas, they did a fountain face-off. They were flipping pucks across the water on the fountain and trying to hit little targets. Chris Bowden mentioned some players skating around the bean. Mario Tabassi, who does, Tirabassi, that is, does great work for Bleacher Nation, and he had mentioned to use Lou Malnati's frozen pizzas as the puck. And I like that idea. Why not just get the frozen pizza? Get the frozen pizza, go through the obstacle course, like you had mentioned. Maybe this could be at the bean, maybe not. And just see who can do it in the fastest time. Just, you know.
I hope it's an individual size pizza, though, too.
No, that's the novelty of it. It's a big, deep dish frozen pizza.
Yeah.
And you just weave around.
So some of the others we had, beer chugging was one of them. And then, let's see. Kenny P. tweeted out all skills competitions done while eating Portillo's hot dog or beef sandwich. Going up the line here.
A lot of people talking about the river.
Yeah, a River Bridge lifted themed saucer competition. Players need to saucer a puck off a mini Chicago River Bridge. Out of targets on the Chicago River, bonus points for hitting a mini RC Chicago water taxi. And then, more of that. Shooting into the river onto targets, similar to what I was actually kind of disappointed at the fountain challenge, though. I was expecting them to have to shoot through the fountains as they were were shooting up and spraying. So I was a little disappointed that the fountains were just some background noise and all that. Bring the water into the equation too as part of the competition.
Another idea I have is for you keep the speed skating competition. But let's say Alex DeBrincat is in the speed skating competition. Let's just make this up. You have a Blues fan that has to eat as many Portillo's hot dogs as they possibly can. Once Alex DeBrincat is done skating, that's his number. Then you get a Blues player and a Blackhawks fan. They do the same thing, and then whoever is eating the most hot dogs, because you can help yourself out. The quicker you get it done, the less likely the opponent has to eat that many hot dogs.
I like it.
And our own David Hochberg, of course, saying that hot dogs and beef sandwiches, and then do the fastest lap competition.
Maybe throw in some deep dish pizza as well as part of that menu.
Just the whole...
People are going to have to be pushed down the ice at that point. So,
the whole smorgasbord. 312-981-7200 if you have an idea for a new Chicago skills competition for the All-Star Game, if it were ever to come back to the United Center and they continue on with that theme. Still, the biggest thing being these general manager hiring interviews, and you know, the Blackhawks being vocal about them and publicizing each time they have an interview with somebody. I do think Eric Tolsky is one of the more impressive resumes as well. Saturday, Scott Mellenby of formerly of the Montreal Canadiens. I was trying to see if he had crossed over with Mark Crawford in Vancouver, but it looks like they just missed each other by 1 year. I don't think that would make a difference at all or anything, but you look for some correlation and some reasons why this new person coming into this position might work well with something going on already with the Hawks. And like we said last week, I feel like the one thing the Hawks have in their favor with this whole situation is I mean, the whole interview process is, okay, what are we doing moving forward? What are you doing with our players? What are you doing with the trade deadline? Are we in buy mode? Are we in sell mode? What kind of sell mode? How do you approach this situation? So, I mean, I feel like the questions kind of write themselves for the whole hiring process for this team.
Yeah, we mentioned last week, it'll be interesting to see how many more that they bring in, because we are looking at trade deadline-wise 5 weeks away now. If you want somebody in place to handle the trade deadline, at least a few days run-up before the actual deadline hits, you'll be looking at at least a second round of interviews here, and then seeing if somebody wants to come to terms. So as this first round goes along, real interested to see how many more candidates they bring in. Mellenby was an assistant GM in Montreal since 2014. He was just let go, or just gave up that job in November when he was not going to be, he was told he wasn't going to be considered for the permanent GM job once Mark Bergevin was let go. Peter Chiarelli, good run in Boston, a Stanley Cup runner-up to the Blackhawks. Not so good run in Edmonton with some of the deals that he made there. And we mentioned Eric Tulsky. He studied nanotechnology at Cal Berkeley, among other things. Also majored in chemistry and physics, and he holds 17 patents apparently as well. So there's an interesting background.
Did it list the patents?
No, it didn't. At least in his bio, it didn't. That may require a little bit more digging, but I looked that up earlier today because I knew they'd interviewed him a couple days ago, and as we got ready for tonight's show, I just wanted to dig a little bit deeper, and wow, that's that's a resume for you right there in terms of analytics and get diving a little bit deeper into those things.
That's quite something to throw on your cover letter. I mean, that's quite a breaking point in a conversation piece when you first walk into the room. More to get to on the GM talk. Again, Dan Duve is going to be joining us after the news. You're listening to Blackhawks Live here on 720 WGN.
Hey now, you're an all-star. Get your game on, go play. Hey now, you're a rock star. Get the show on.
Little smash mouth to bring us back here on Blackhawks Live.
We
720.
Apologize.
I don't. I'm a Smash Mouth fan.
That came out when my kids were real small, and I had to drive them to school, to and from school, and they loved that song, and they would sing along to it all the time.
I'm sure they were a fan of the movie Shrek.
Yes, that too.
That's what kind of made it go crazy. Hopefully, Dan Duve was a big Smash Mouth fan. He was one of the more busy, one of the busiest guys out in Sin City this past week.
Force him to answer that question.
yeah. Dan, you don't have to answer that question if you don't want to. But thank you so much for jumping on with us tonight. Boy, you've probably had a whirlwind the past couple of days, huh? So we appreciate you taking some time for us tonight.
Well, DJ Zed, when the beat in the arena the other day, I'm still bouncing along to that. I could go for a dose of Bruce Springsteen myself.
There you go.
Okay, all right. Most people are a fan of the Boss. Dan, what was the coolest part of this weekend for you?
The first thing that comes to mind is still the Trevor Zegras thing. I was watching all of that, and I'm trying to figure out, is this a gag? What's going on here? And that the most memorable part of the whole All-Star weekend comes from a guy who was not an actual All-Star speaks to perhaps a changing of the guard, that these young guys, and you know, whether it's Alex DeBrincat or you look maybe Jordan Kyrou in St. Louis, you know, a number of the standout performers, at least those who caught my eye, were the young and up-and-comers. Then you throw in your Claude Giroux, who's got the MVP for the whole All-Star Game tournament. So the veterans have something to say about it, too. I also will tell you that while it didn't seem like they wanted to highlight the fact that the stuff at the Bellagio was pre-recorded the night before. No. I did go down and watch those events in person, and that was neat to see. I can't imagine I'll be watching any hockey activity on the Bellagio fountains again anytime soon.
Yeah. Well, interesting note there, because I wanted to follow up with a question about the night before, and I want to know how much money was slipped under the table that John Hamm, when Alex Pietrangelo got out there for John, to stick a one in front of his nine to pad the score a little bit so the hometown guy could win that skills challenge over Zegras and Hughes and DeBrincat.
Yeah, my abacus could not keep up in the radio booth. I was trying to figure out all the ratings. Unfortunately, from where we were positioned, to see, you know, the different sized cards, and trying to figure out what exactly was going on, let alone do those calculations. I was a journalism major, not math. But we figured it out, and I still don't know how they allowed that to count, but they did. And the shame of it is that Alex Petrangelo's attempt did not even go in
right.
the goal. But
kind of second
that
chance.
Was, besides the fact, you know, it's part of the show, yeah. I guess. It's different than what you might see in some other markets, but hey, it's Las Vegas.
Right.
We're talking to Dan Duva. He's the radio play-by-play voice for the Vegas Golden Knights since they joined the NHL. So, Dan, you've been there since, you know, the team came, and it just seemed like it had to be, you know, obviously the Stanley Cup run was big for the organization, but it seemed like this was an opportunity to show the hockey world what Vegas has to offer. And I know everyone gets a glimpse of that before every game with the type of performance that, you know, goes on the ice. But, I mean, in terms of the Vegas hockey community, how pleased were they with everything that had happened over the weekend? Because that's a lot of hard work crammed into, like, 3 days.
I think that the community could be very proud of how it represented itself in a lot of ways. And just to go back to the thought that you had about the Stanley Cup Final, I think it's worth bringing up. It's a good point, Joe. Because you've got the Stanley Cup Final, which is hockey's true exposition, and when Media Day took place in 2018, because Game 1 was in Las Vegas, so all of those opportunities for the media to come in happened at T-Mobile Arena, and there were a number of high-profile people who had not seen a game in Las Vegas all season, or even through the first three rounds of the playoffs, that was the first taste of it. And boy, that first game of the Stanley Cup Final was fantastic. Vegas' only win of the series, and they got an empty netter late to win by two. But that was just a fantastic few days. And I still think about those few days that are most meaningful to me. And I think that there are some people who haven't been back to Vegas since that Stanley Cup Final that cover the sport, and I've no doubt some fans too. And I think that in talking with George McPhee, who had been the GM and now the Golden Knights president of hockey operations, he was most proud of that the number of people playing hockey in the state of Nevada has grown exponentially since the Golden Knights have arrived. And that's at all ages. It's both genders, and it's in the Las Vegas area, southern Nevada, but it's really spread beyond that, how the number of facilities have increased. There's a new American Hockey League team, and they're about to open a new arena in a couple of months. There's all of that to be proud of, and checkered about Las Vegas is that logo. It's everywhere. Mm. It's on bumper stickers. It's on license plates. It's on sweatshirts. People have flags out the window of their car. It's on billboards. I mean, you go into grocery stores. That logo is just everywhere, and people are so proud about having a Major League franchise they can call their own. Now, the Raiders are there, too. They've got their own history, but the Golden Knights are smart to trumpet the credo of Vegas born. It's a hashtag.
Yeah, and I saw pictures of that new arena in Henderson, and it looks absolutely marvelous. Hey, I suppose I should have asked John Weideman this question when I worked with him for 4 years. Is three-on-three hockey play-by-play easier to call than your regular five-on-five during the course of a regular? I was joking. I was joking earlier in the show. Maybe you just caught your breath now after all that three-on-three action up and down the ice. Is it easier? Are there different challenges to it? I would imagine with fewer bodies, I suppose identification becomes a whole lot easier during those times.
Well, identification can be a challenge when the Metropolitan Division has two number 20s, the Pacific Division has two number 7s, both of whom were the same stick hand. And I think that it is a test of lung capacity. If I can't keep up with three-on-three, means I'm not going to the gym often enough. I would say that the three-on-three is exhilarating, and I think that the second of the three games was the highest tempo and the most entertaining. And I'm glad that I had a little bit of a warm-up, and it seemed like the players in the first game were warming up, too, to be honest. And I love it. I love it. And thank goodness there are at least a couple of whistles, that the breaks in the midst of all those three-on-three sessions were 2.5 minutes instead of a minute and a half. That was helpful. But I think that when there's so much activity and guys are coming on off the ice, I mean, they blew through a media timeout in one of those games. and you're trying to figure out, you know, who's on the ice, you know, line combinations when there's, you know, guys who are not on the same team. And the other thing that threw me for a loop is the third game, the teams switched jerseys from their previous games. So, if, for example, number 59, Roman Josi, and number 59, Jake Guentzel, they had just been wearing different jerseys not 5 minutes ago. So there's your brain starts to play tricks on you. My only recommendation for future All-Star events is that they have four different jerseys for each of the four divisions and not just two.
Yeah, that was wild.
Well, just keeping you on your toes, Dan. That's what they're doing.
Why not?
We can't talk Vegas without bringing up Marc-Andre Fleury's name. What a return he had when Blackhawks played the Vegas Golden Knights, and that actually kick-started a nice four-game winning streak for the team before some things kind of fizzled out. But I really think their performance against Vegas in that game had a big reason of why they were able to get on a run, and I do think it's backed up on what type of game Marc-Andre Fleury had, and maybe just some extra adrenaline from that pre-game video that he had. I thought that was maybe going to screw him up a little bit, giving him all those emotions right before the game. But man, you talk about, you know, we just talked about Vegas's hockey community, but you talk about that fan base appreciating Marc-Andre Fleury. And we are seeing it in a small sample size just throughout this half a year with Marc-Andre Fleury being in a Blackhawks sweater. But man, what an impact he made over there in Sin City, huh?
Is anybody surprised that that's what happened?
Right.
You know, like that. No, is the answer. I would put that moment right there with so many other seemingly impossible moments that Marc-Andre Fleury has brought to reality. And when you think about his time with the Golden Knights, and there are some terrific moments, I think folks forget that he was injured early in the fourth game of the season against Detroit. So, there were two games on the road. It was great in Dallas and Arizona. Then the memorable home game, Derek Englund gives the speech. But then the fourth game, which everybody forgets, was against Detroit. Anthony Mantha knees Fleury in the head. And Fleury misses a couple of months with a concussion. And I think that that time away, Paul Maurice said this at the time, that that stretch without Marc-Andre Fleury helped the Golden Knights figure out who they were as a team. But then when Fleury comes back, you've got a team that's primed to go on a run. They had that incredible month of December. Fleury beats the Penguins. That was, of course, an incredible first matchup against his old club. Was it quite the same for, you know, Fleury as the Blackhawk to go up against the Golden Knights? No, of course, it's not quite the same, but that doesn't diminish the experience that he had in Vegas or the love that the people in Las Vegas have for him, because the Golden Knights fans have known no other goalie that way. There have been a handful of other guys who have put on the goaltending gear, but the hearts of Vegas fans will stay with Marc-Andre Fleury regardless of what jersey he puts on the rest of his career. And the loudest ovation that we've heard for any opposing player in 5 years, no doubt, was for Marc-Andre. I know a lot of people were rooting for him to beat the Golden Knights that particular day. And it has been said before, I'm not hiding anything here, people are pissed. People are pissed in Las Vegas, and I don't know if they'll get over it until the team, you know, wins a championship or at least gets back to a Stanley Cup final. I think some people are thinking if the Golden Knights don't get back to the third round where they have been the last couple of years, it's basically because they didn't hold on to Marc-Andre Fleury. He's a prince of a guy. He's a special person. He is missed, but you know, he's on the wrong side of 35 years old, and that's the way that the business goes, and salary being what it is. If they had tried to keep Mark, they might not have been able to re-sign Alec Martinez. And now what they're trying to do with Jack Eichel and fit him under the salary cap, it's part of the business. No doubt they would have loved to have kept him, but Vegas' loss is Chicago's gain.
So many compliments being used on Marc-Andre Fleury. Prince of a guy, though. That speaks a lot. I appreciate you using that terminology on him. Dan Duva, thank you very much for joining us. We know you've had a busy weekend and a busy day. Go get him in Edmonton tomorrow, and we'll see you the final home game of the regular season for the Hawks. That's what it takes for Vegas to come back to town, huh?
Yeah, it's the second to last game for Vegas, and it's the back end of back-to-backs. They're in Dallas and then in Chicago, so I won't spend nearly as much time there. I would have loved to go see a White Sox or a Cubs game, but go root on those Wildcats for me in a couple of days against Illinois, would you?
All right, sounds good. Dan Duva, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks, guys.
That's Dan Duva, radio voice of the Vegas Golden Knights. Okay, we're going to wrap up this episode of Blackhawks Live. We'll get to more of the GM search, and we'll also cover the town hall meeting from last week as well. He's Chris Bowden. I'm Joe Brand. You're listening to 720 WGN. Wrapping up Blackhawks Live here on 720 WGN. The Blackhawks are off until Wednesday when they visit the Edmonton Oilers. Good point by Chris Bowden, though, saying during the break, Hawks are going to get back to practice tomorrow for the first time since their loss to the Minnesota Wild last week. Definitely have to keep an eye out, see if Jonathan Toews will return. Mm-hmm. No official word on how he's been doing with dealing with concussion protocol. Derek King has mentioned he's been around the rink, he's been around the facilities, but that's been the extent of it. We're also trying to give away a Boyke's prize pack in terms of a Chicago-themed NHL All-Star Skills competition event. Boyke's are our great partner here on Blackhawks Live. It's not beef jerky, it's biltong, it's better than beef jerky. Go to Boykeys.com, Boykeys.com. Use the promo code WGN for 10% off your first order. We talked about it at the beginning of the show. Clearly, the biggest news this week isn't the GM search, isn't the All-Star break. It was the town hall meeting and a couple of questions posed to the Blackhawks front office about player empowerment moving forward based on what had happened in the Kyle Beach situation. The original question by Mark Lazarus of The Athletic was aimed towards Danny Wirtz. It was directed towards him. His dad, the Blackhawks chairman, as you all know, Rocky Wirtz, chimed in and wouldn't directly answer that question. Said he didn't want to talk about Kyle Beach, didn't want to talk about the past, wanted to talk about moving forward. Mark continued to try to ask the question about the team moving forward from that and how they're doing things and changing things and implementing different ways of operating to make sure that doesn't happen. The question was never answered. Later on, Phil Thompson from the Tribune joined in as well and continued to try to get an answer to that question. Later on, Rocky Wirtz released a statement saying that his reaction had overshadowed the work that Danny Wirtz and Jamie Faulkner had been doing, which, by the way, during that town hall meeting, there was a lot of positive and progressive things said throughout that entire thing. It's a shame that that reaction ended up being the main takeaway from that event because there were so many positive things going on. And that is the case, that reaction by Rocky Wirtz is what is talked about, because this is an organization that is trying to move forward and trying to move past what had happened. The people that were in office at that time that had the decision makings are no longer there. I think that was a point that Rocky Wirtz was trying to stress too, but now we're seeing it. You know, recently some reports coming out of the Rockford IceHogs firing their longtime athletic trainer based on a sexual abuse allegation from 2014 that did not come to light until after the Block and Jenner report had been released. So you saw the Blackhawks doing something about it. You saw them just squashing the issue right away, and hopefully that is a result of Kyle Beach's courage moving forward and coming up and pointing out what's wrong is wrong and needing those people to be held accountable. So that right there is a example that hopefully, and you would lead to believe that the Blackhawks are doing things differently to make sure that didn't happen before. But again, it couldn't get to that state because of the reaction by the chairman that day.
And it's compounded by the fact that the Blackhawks haven't played a game since that night.
True.
So it is continuing to fester in the spotlight. And things were going well until Rocky gave, you know, a completely wrong and tone-deaf answer. And I don't know what the preparations were prior to the event. Normally there's a brainstorming and discussion among the parties involved, among the communications, the PR or marketing staff. Get everybody on the same page with the messaging. And you knew that topic was going to come up. And now, as you know, it's a very daunting damage control. Over the last several days, I haven't picked up a phone and called anybody to find out if there were any preparations involved. I don't know if I would even get an answer because they're busy trying to handle and clean things up. And, you know, now whether there was a meeting and Rocky ignored that blueprint of messaging or wasn't included in the discussion, or perhaps he had just recently found out about the potential for a couple of new lawsuits moving mm-hmm. forward that have been reported upon, or the Rockford situation. Another unfortunate phrase I thought came from Commissioner Gary Bettman, and he was wrong about it being a moment. And when he said that, I immediately thought of all the moments that Kyle Beach True. And other victims have had over the course of the last nearly dozen years. We asked the Blackhawks if Danny or Jamie would like to come on with us to answer that and other related questions about the way they are or they how they would have answered if given the opportunity the other night and how things are now changing in the aftermath. That request wasn't answered. But I can and share with you this, and I'll do this even as a former Hawks employee whose job was eliminated as part of, you know, pandemic-related restructuring, and I'm still searching for full-time work ever since. Before the Beach situation even became public, and I'll add, I had never heard about the Beach situation while I was employed there for 4 years. When Danny took over, he emphasized inclusion, diversity, equity, to the point that he implemented organization-wide workshops that every employee, even players and coaches included, had to participate in every couple of months. I know it's important to him, and it's continued and is commendable, trying to open minds up and place employees in another person's shoes, which really should be pretty important everywhere these days. Unfortunately, there are still too many people who apparently, you know, don't think so. I have no idea of the timelines of when Rocky originally heard about Beach, the Aldrich situation, when Danny knew about it. There are naysayers, after what I just said, who'll jump to the automatic conclusion that knowledge of that is the reason that Danny came in and implemented this stuff before it even became public. But I'm aware that of what he's done, and I'm confident that it'll remain an emphasis upon learning that he has already instituted a mental health department in the organization. I truly believe setting the right culture is very important to Danny. As he said in his statement, also, there is no finish line to this. His dad, quite simply, got it wrong the other night. An unnecessary extra hurdle in what was already going to be a long, grueling process to get the product on the ice to the level that it was during the first decade of Rocky's time as chairman here. And, you know, the first step is restoring the belief and the trust that starts within those walls at the United Center and at Fifth Third Arena, and set a new tone and attitude and approach that all the fans can believe in again, no matter how long it takes. Unfortunately, it's now going to take a little bit longer based on the misstep that the boss verbalized the other night.
Well said. I don't have much to echo on that other than, yes, when the Block and Jenner report had come out, Danny and Rocky were first on the screen saying they had no common knowledge of that. They had no knowledge of this situation. The report will have stated that, will have shown that. And based on everything that Danny and Rocky have done in terms of transparency, including the general population, including the fandom, and changing things around the organization, leads you to believe that they are and they were telling the truth. And it's even really a stretch to go to the length of Rocky's reaction at the town hall meeting would say otherwise about that. But like you said, it was the wrong step. It was the wrong thing to say. It was unnecessary. Everything was about this organization and team moving forward, and it's unfortunate that unnecessary step had been taken. Now Danny and Jamie are going to have to continue to do what they have been doing. I know that there was a plan all along, but again, it's a few steps back. And, you know, hopefully just more changes will be made to show that, in terms of more changes in the organization, of something like this not happening again in terms of everything that Kyle Beach and now what we're learning other victims had to endure, that it can be about moving forward and changing for the better of the good. And yeah, hopefully it's just more of that moving forward than anything else. We are not going to be on next Monday. Our next show will be Tuesday night. It'll be another 7 o'clock start for Blackhawks Live. Again, we're switching back to 7 to 8 with John Hansen's new Your Money Matters coming on from 6 to 7. Hawks play again Wednesday night, visiting the Edmonton Oilers. We'll have the pregame at 6:30. He's Chris Bowden. I'm Joe Brand. You've been listening to Blackhawks Live, 720 WGN.